Hey, just a reminder that friend of the show and sketch card artist Ben Abusada is giving Rebel Base Card listeners 20% off sketch cards in his Etsy store. If you go to etsy.com/shop/KSGeekman and use the code Rebel Base Card, you'll get 20% off of sketch cards. You can find the link in the show notes. All right, let's do the show.
Hi, everyone. I'm Bobby Sussman.
And I'm Nadia Kovacs.
We're the Galaxy Edge Explorers. And you are currently listening to the Rebel Base Card Podcast. Great pull, kid!
40 years after the initial release of The Empire Strikes Back, audiences have revisited this classic Star Wars chapter time and time again. And since then, Topps has also returned to the film in a number of card sets, in wide formats, 3D effects, and black and white. With me is returning guest Stephen Stolk, a.k.a. Star Wars Topps Cards on Instagram, to talk about the dedicated sets and notable Empire cards that have kept collectors coming back for more. We would be honored if you would join us in our continuing celebration of 40 years of Empire Strikes Back cards.
You can waste time with your friends when your chores are done. Now, come on, get to it.
You found something.
You found the Rebel Base Card Podcast.
What a piece of junk.
I'm your host, Greg McLaughlin.
As clumsy as he is stupid.
Join me as we discuss Star Wars trading cards and card collecting.
We need a statement, not a manifesto.
We'll talk about sets from the original vintage.
No, the one I'm pointing to.
All the way to current releases.
This?
Yes.
All right, let's get started.
Commence primary ignition.
Stephen, once again, it's a pleasure to have you back on the show. And I thought, as part of the celebration of the 40th anniversary of The Empire Strikes Back, and more importantly to us, The Empire Strikes Back cards, I wanted to kind of take us back and get your memories of seeing Empire Strikes Back in the theater.
Oh, okay. Well, thanks, Greg. Appreciate you. Thanks for inviting me back. I've seen every Star Wars movie basically on the first day. And me and one of my newest friends that I met in junior high, which was in 79, because in 80, I was a freshman in high school. We went over down to this mall that was showing it, but it wasn't playing inside the mall. It was like a theater that was located outside the mall. So this really large building, when we got there, it was probably, I guess around 10 in the morning, I think somewhere around that. We got in line to go see it. And this line was the biggest line. It was just like being in 1977. When everybody's heard about these lines in 1977, which is all true because I was in that line too, this line literally, just picture this large building, and the line wraps not only completely 100% around the building, but it did it three times around. Wow. So it was insane. You'd basically see the person next to you, which is in the line that's closer to the door, which is, then you look at another one. So there's like three lines, but they're going completely around in circles of the whole theater. So that's how long of a wait we had to do it. So by the time me and my friend, which, you know, we're talking about all about Star Wars, episode 4, you know, we're all talking about that. Well, everybody else is, you know, talking with us. So it was fun. I mean, big diehard Star Wars fans, and we're all guessing, like, okay, is this going to happen? Is this, you know, what's going to happen? How are, you know? So we're all coming up with our theories and this and that. And like I said, we were literally in that line. I think we finally saw it at around like 4:30 in the afternoon or something like that. It was really getting, you know. So we had literally spent most of our day in that line. But when we got in there, oh my gosh, that was it. Just, you know, like, whoa, it's like, it's mind boggling. It's like, you know, because the technology in 77 was, you know, it was all new back then when they did it. But when he did Empire, oh my gosh, it's like, wow, seeing that, you know, that. So, of course, naturally, we said, let's go again the next day. Of course, we saw it again the next day. And that's kind of how it's been. But actually, as far as the Empire, later on, when I was a senior in high school, 1983, 84. I was in an English class, and it was a sci-fi English class that I was in, which is pretty cool.
Nice.
And they wanted to watch movies for the last 2 weeks of before school was out. So I knew this guy that had a bootleg of The Empire Strikes Back on VHS, and we were playing it inside the classroom, and everybody was blown away. They were seeing Empire Strikes Back and this is only 3 years later. So just take in mind, I mean, it didn't come released on a VHS for way longer than that. I mean, this is way far in advance. So people were just blowing, is that Empire Strikes Back? You know, so it blew everybody's mind. But that's kind of the memories I had with the ties in with that.
One of the things we talked about on part one of our, you know, like our card special, by the time that the Empire Strikes Back cards come out, you're kind of seeing Tops at kind of the top of its game as far as Star Wars cards. You know, you've gone through five sets of Star Wars, you know, and so when you see series one, you know, you see some new, you know, like one, the sets are doubled. You have,
right.
You have the Star Files, you have the Macquarie paintings at the end. You've got, you know, stickers that now, you know, constitute the, you know, the puzzle pieces. So,
right.
You know, and then of course they were a little more expensive. What are your memories of starting to collect the Empire Strikes Back cards and what you thought of them?
Well, when I heard that they're finally releasing them, naturally went to the same place that I bought my original Star Wars cards at the Stop and Go market that was right by my house. And once again, I was using up all my money that I was using for mowing the lawns and stuff like that, that I was, you know, I was collecting. So I thought, okay, I'm going to dive into this set. So naturally, of course, the Stop and Go did have had that series there. So I was just buying packs and packs, but made the same mistake as I did before with the Star Wars, where I didn't buy the whole box. I just basically was buying packs. Yeah, and, you know, that's one thing I do regret. I mean, I should have saved, you know, $4.50, $5, and I could have got a whole entire box. But, you know, just excited. So I dove into it, and I had this other friend of mine that was collecting cards also at the time. So he would be buying his cards. And so we'd go back home, and we'd start ripping open these packs, you know, as fast as we could, you know, get them out of our pockets, you know, after walking from the Stop and Go market back home. And, of course, the gum was still, it was in there too. So that was kind of cool. So we're just chowing down on gum, you know, like, you know, our mouths are packed full, you know, with our big cheeks full of gum. And, we were really excited. I mean, it was, you know, just kind of like, the scenes that they were showing, you know, like I said, they had stickers still, which was cool. We were just really, amazed on how well it was, put out. And then, of course, when he had dupes and I had dupes, we started swapping. And then, of course, it became a weekly thing going down there, buying more packs. And we were doing this for like about 3-4 weeks or so, just constantly going there with spending every penny we got to buy these packs. And, you know, of course, the duplicates almost got more. We had more duplicates than we had the whole entire base set,
right.
You know, which is kind of funny. You know, here I got to. It's kind of mind-boggling, but that's the thing about doing it that way is that you end up so many duplicates. It's, you know, and then you got to find someone else that, you know, so besides your friend that still, you know, you got to find some other person that has them and hope that you can get your, you know, fill in your gaps. And, you know, so, you know, but like I said, I mean, the thing about back in that time is that not everybody was really, really familiar with card collecting as far as, you know, some people were stamp collecting, coin collecting, or whatever their collections were. And Star Wars card collecting was, you know, I mean, kind of a new thing, you know.
Right.
Like you said, series one through five, you know, there were those cards out. And then when this one came out, you know, a lot of people still didn't caught on as much as it has today, you know. So, but yeah, that's kind of what I kind of remember with that. I mean, yeah, it cost 25 cents. I mean, converted to 15 cents, but you know, still, it was well worth it with the gum. The gum still tasted just like it did in 77. And, you know, but yeah, it was really good memories, you know, card collecting and then being able to trade with other people. And finally, when I completed the set, that was even more exciting. You know, once you complete your set, it's like, oh, my gosh, I finally got it. And, you know, and then you just had to figure out, well, what am I going to do with these, you know, 400 duplicates I got here, you know. But yeah, it was a really great time. Of course, hearing about making another one, you know, the series two, you know,
right.
That was the same scenario, you know, getting your money again and off we go back to Stop and Go and, you know, doing the same old thing. But it was great. It was a very nice time during my life.
When you go through series two into series three, now at this point, you know, with hundreds of dupes and now you've got, you know, a second, now a third series, Did you get those, or did it kind of peter off a little bit?
Yeah, I just basically bought them almost the same way as I did with series one. But I think what I did then was when I got to series three, it was more, I was a little bit more calmer, I guess, because, you know, it was like, okay, I got all these duplicates. I've got, you know, I found more people that were collecting. So I thought, you know what, I don't have to go crazy buying all of these packs, and I could probably trade for some series two or series one for some series three, you know, and this and that. So I was able to kind of save a little bit more money then and trade and to get my whole base set. But of course, doing it that way, there's only one negative part about it is you tend to, you know, well, nowadays they call them hits, you know, but
right.
The thing is when the stickers and all that stuff, if you tend to, the less packs you buy, of course, then you don't start getting all the stickers and,
right.
And puzzle pieces. And that's the thing is that when you got towards the third series, it was harder for me to convince somebody to trade a sticker for some cards, you know, and, you know, so that was the negative part about it. But like I said, it was, I felt all three series were well done. I was actually back then I was hoping they were going to do a fourth one since the original Star Wars had five of them. I was kind of thinking that, oh yeah, they're going to put a fourth one out. But, that was kind of one of the big disappointments of, not getting a fourth series out, which I kind of thought they would. And I still think they would have been a good idea doing it, but you know, Topps did have their reasons.
And interestingly enough, you have the addition of the candy box, you know, the candy containers, as well as the oversized photos. So, you know, it's interesting
right.
that they're kind of trying a couple other things that might have been, you know, like, well, yes, we could, you know, even when you kind of read that Abrams book, it does kind of seem like they kind of knew that we could probably, you know, keep milking this, or you could go, let's just, you know, cut and run here. And, you know, although I do find that series three, like we kind of mentioned previously, it was a fun series. The color was fun. And, you know, by that time you could do, you know, you had just some different looks to it. You had the classic comic illustrations that kind of go
right.
off. But yes. And so they kind of finish up with those two. And I talked a little bit previously about the, you know, the Burger King cards that come out, but they don't come out. Some of these don't come out until about, you know, now we're getting to vintage series three in this. You're looking at 81. So now the film's been out for a while. Everything kind of winds down a little bit. And what's interesting, and one of the things that we were going to talk about tonight are when you start seeing Empire Strikes Back come back. And it's interesting that I had given you a list of, you know, some of the dedicated sets, and there have actually been another, if I kind of count them right, there are another five sets dedicated strictly to the Empire Strikes Back, you know,
right.
from about the mid-90s into present day. And then there are some that find themselves, you know, like, although you will find images from Empire Strikes Back scattered across several of the sets, there are some ones in particular we will talk about here a little bit later on that have a good chunk of, or some ones that we would suggest that you take a look at. But
right.
one of the first sets I kind of want to talk about tonight, we're fast forwarding from 81 to 95. And to give you some indication of what's happening, the audience will indication, you know, we're now in the card boom, almost at the card, you know, at the card bust, as it were, past, you know, like the late 80s and early 90s, where Topps has really gotten into the direct market. We've already seen Galaxy. And one of the things that you see as a trend from about this standpoint, from 1995, you know, into a little bit of the aughts, is they really delve into wide vision. And so one of the first sets that return back to the Empire Strikes Back in 95 is the Empire Strikes Back wide vision. And
right.
if you could give me a little bit of your take on that set and how it kind of found, you know, how it kind of found its way into your collection.
Yeah, basically like after Jedi, the original Jedi and stuff, there was a little bit of a dry spell, of course, for a while. And then when Topps finally came out with the, you know, when this set was finally being announced that was coming out, it kind of like, I was kind of wondering like, well, what did he mean by widescreen? Yeah, we saw it in the movie theater, but see, you know, it's kind of like, you know, the TVs back at that time were all square and, you know, we're saying this is going to be widescreen. And so they're now they're saying, well, we're coming up with a widescreen card. And so I thought, well, okay. So that got caught my interest. I'm thinking to myself, well, what am I going to be seeing in this? Am I going to be, you know? And then I figured, well, then you know, it dawned on me. It's like, well, it's going to be they're going to be basically doing like what the theater screen looks like. So I'm going to be seeing a little bit. I'm going to see more of the sides. So I thought these cards. I'm thinking to myself, I hope they got some great scenes like at the asteroid field or something like that. You know, I was just kind of like, you know, kind of hoping because one of my favorite scenes in Empire is the asteroid field chase scene and stuff. That's I really love that, and of course the lightsaber duels and all that. So I was when I heard it was coming out this time in my life, I had already a job for quite some time, so money wasn't going to be an issue this time. Which was back when I was a lot younger in high school, it was a little bit more of an issue. But this time I no, not a problem. So when I heard it came out, I bought a full entire box of it, and I opened it up and went to town with it, and I was able to get the whole entire base set, which. Back in those times, when you did buy a box, you got the whole entire thing.
No, I was just going to say, you know, you're still, when you're talking about the mid-90s, you're still talking about before the ramp up, you know, the Phantom Menace wouldn't be out for another 4 years. And right. I don't really even think that, although they were, you know, Lucasfilm may have been starting to ramp up, I don't think we had that much indication of what was going to happen. But there was clearly, you know, between Star Wars, Empire, and Return of the Jedi widescreen, there was a big flirtation with Topps to get to release these. And you can tell as a, you know, like in the beginnings of these, and there's also a great Abrams book on the widescreen cards where there is, these things are packed to the gills with information, extra pictures. So they really went to town with the extra space they had. And, you know, it was, they were really nice cards, but you can kind of tell when they release other, you know, widescreen cards later on, they kind of back down a little bit, especially if you're looking at the prequel wide visions, they start to kind of back down on what they kind of cram in, where they kind of go, maybe less is more. So when you're right. looking at these initial ones, especially, you know, Star Wars, the Star Wars Empire, and, you know, these first three wide vision sets, they're really liking what they're doing.
Right.
But you're right, yes. And it was amazing because this is a pretty big release, and I want to say it's closer to 144 cards.
Right.
If I look at my notes. And so, yeah, but you don't really see another Empire Strikes Back release, dedicated release, for several years after. And I know
Correct.
That the next one that's going to be near and dear to your heart is yes. is going to come out in 2010, and this is the Empire 3DI sets, another interesting way to issue a card where it puts it in 3D. And if you could talk to me a little bit about those and why you find those special.
Yeah, well, after, like I said before with the 95 ones, yeah, they were fantastically done. I loved the scenes that they showed. I loved how we finally got to see what the big screen, as you would say, on how it was like. But then when they were saying that they were going to issue it in the 3DI, you know, once you hear, you know, most people go, well, what's the 3DI? But the original 3DI from A New Hope, that was a big thing when they first tried it out to get the attention of everybody. There was a lot of flaws back in that time. There's a lot of scratches and, you know, people had to send them back. There's a lot of recalls. But the Empire Strikes Back one, now that one, they started perfecting 3DI a lot better. So when I was hearing about this and how that Topps has been perfecting their 3D images even more, that really caught my eye and my attention. I thought, well, you know, for Empire, I mean, Empire is like, just think what, you know, one of my, like I said, the asteroid field scene is one of my top favorite scenes in there. And I just thought, well, boy, in 3D, just, you know, you're going to see those asteroids coming right at you. You know, it's like, so I was getting really excited about purchasing it. But the thing about the set was, is that a lot of people felt the same way as me. They all got really excited and they were buying these sets like really fast. I mean, these things were blowing out like crazy. But I was lucky enough to purchase, you know, two boxes, and I got one that's sealed and, you know, still do. And I opened up the other one, and that's what I did, of course, with the set that we were talking about just past the other one, the 95. I did the same thing. I bought one to leave sealed and one to open up. But the 3D, when I opened these things up, it was like, to me, I thought it was like, I don't know. It's, to me, I thought already it was impressive on just the regular widescreen. But when it came out in 3D, that was just like, wow. They did such a much better, cleaner job with the images, and it just popped. And you couldn't get enough to, you know, when I was looking at these cards, I was literally almost staring at each one of these cards way longer than a normal card. I would just be looking at this thing and put it in different angles, and they're like, wow, what a, they really did a top notch job on those 3D cards.
And you're not,
I'm a big fan with them.
And I can tell, and also I can tell how popular it is, because you rarely see these cards or boxes show up on eBay, and if you do, they're quite expensive. And so the 3DI cards, if you can come across them, whether it's a New Hope or an Empire or Return of the Jedi, they are highly sought after by collectors. And like you said, they had kind of come back and perfected it, and it was this interesting 3D effect. And it makes it a very unique card, but it's also, like I said, very hard to come across.
Right. And it's very expensive too.
Exactly.
Now, take in mind, a 3D card was set, you know, a pack of 3D cards, just a pack alone was hitting close to, you know, $5 a pack almost.
Yeah, which we're talking 2010, so that's still still a bit high.
Yeah, kind of on the high side, and compared to what we saw in 95, you know, and the packs, I think, were about $3.45 or something like that a pack back then. And then, of course, you know, when we go farther back, of course, you know, we're talking about under a dollar. So it's like a real big hike. So, you know, and then when I bought the whole box, you know, in the 3D, I think I paid around $50-$60 at least back then, you know. So it was a lot of money, you know, to fork over for the, but well worth it. I mean, the quality and everything, well worth it.
Excellent. You know? So we go, from this point, we go another 5 years before we see a dedicated release to The Empire Strikes Back. And this is one, on also another take, interesting take that Topps did, where this is the Empire Illustrated set. And what's interesting about this set is that it has, it's all basically like a classic comic type format, but it's done from the MPR scripts of the original radio dramas for it. So there are some scenes in there that aren't in the movie, but are in the radio novelization for The Empire Strikes Back. They had done one for New Hope, I believe, in 2013. But this is a set that can kind of go overlooked sometimes, and it kind of finds itself as now we are getting into the Disney era of it. But it is one that I think that as a 100 card base set, this is one I did buy as a complete set later on aftermarket. But it's an interesting set. Did you have this, and then did you collect it as a pack or box, or did you go back and get it later?
No, I did get it, and I believe I did get it factory sealed too. Yeah, but I did the same thing. But like I said, as far as when I was comparing that to the 3DI, I was still going like, well, this was a great idea, but oh, I wish they made another 3DI set. So I kind of got, you know, it's kind of weird. I know it's kind of seems a little funny, but once I saw those 3DI ones, I don't know. It's just like I put that on a pedestal, and all the other card sets, I was going like, well, you know, that was a good idea, but you know, let's go back and see if we can do another round of these things. But but no, that you know what I mean? Like, let's do a second series of Empire in 3D. But, you know, I, of course, Topps was saying they were extremely expensive to make. And a lot of times there was things going wrong. So that's why they kind of stayed away a little bit more, not releasing another 3D set. But that set we were talking about, yeah, that was a really nice set. It was another different angle they were shooting for. Topps is really was at this time trying to figure out what's going to really grab the audience and what, you know, because there's a lot of sketch card artists at this time. This is getting more of the creative part of this, of people in general, of the public, you know, people really started getting into the art part of it. And I guess there were, in a way, it just kind of made people that, were artistic, really wanting to draw more. And like I said, I'm sure there's a lot of artists out there right now, sketch card artists, that probably were, you know, influenced by that set.
It's an interesting gateway drug into, you know, between that and Galaxy, where you go, all right, you know, instead of just getting the cards from the movie or the different stills from, now you're seeing interpretations of those scenes, and it kind of gets your taste for, well, who else has a good take on this, and let's see what you can do. But also, when you're looking at some of this set that basically was illustrated by the same person, you go, you know, that's a lot of work. And I think you'll see some on the Marvel side where they'll do sets that are done predominantly by the same artist when they're doing that. And so it's kind of interesting, and it finds a nice place. Also, by the way, you will also find that Topps on the digital side did release the Empire Illustrated in the Star Wars Card Trader app. And I remember when it came out, and, you know, it was one of those where, you know, 100 card set in the app was a little tough, but it was a fun set to chase. I think they'd also done the A New Hope Illustrated as well. But but it was a good set, you know, and it's nice to have both digitally and physically.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I did get that app before, but I've been, for some weird reason, something was going on where I was just not, I don't know. I guess, I don't know if it was my phone or something, but some, you know, I tried to get all the digital cards and all that stuff, but it just didn't, I don't know. I guess it wasn't in the cards for me. I tried it and this, so some reason my phone even couldn't handle it or something, or something was going on with my account, but I don't know. But I'm still really more old school, where I'd like to have the physical card in my hands, you know, and,
I hear you.
You know, but, you know, but yeah, that was, like I said, that was another step that Topps was doing. I guess Topps is really trying to find out, where can we, what can we do different? What can we do new? What new innovations can we do in the card collecting for Star Wars? You know, when they just, you know, at the very beginning, you know, like I said, it was just plain regular, box screen, you know, type of thing. Then they go to the widescreen format, and then they're going, like you said, to more of the creative sketches and stuff like that. So they're trying to, and then of course with the 3DI. So they're really, that's what I really loved about Topps, is they're really trying to go with all types of new ideas and concepts on how, you know, the different, just the way how to interpret Star Wars. I mean, the world of Star Wars is so vast and huge. I mean, there's so many ways to go about it, and it's kind of neat how Topps is trying to get into it also this way, which is really fascinating.
And, you know, I would say that, you know, I think those who are listening to you probably would get, later on when I talk about, you know, some of your favorite post-vintage sets. However, before they say, all right, I'm going to lay some money on the 3DI being your favorite, then we have probably one of the biggest ones, biggest releases and last ones that I'll talk about, is the Empire Strikes Back Black and White in 2019. And this is a set that's got to blow your socks off. Talk to us a little bit about that set and your thoughts on it.
Yeah, boy, I just got goosebumps. it's a fantastic set. I mean, when the Black and White, of course, when they just came out, you know, with the New Hope, and when that came out, and I thought, well, that's a great concept, Black and White. You know, that's kind of neat, a major kind of old school type of thing. I believe it was 150 cards on Empire and on so, and then of course there's about, I believe there's about 50 something cards to a mini box. So it took a lot of boxes to try to collect the whole entire base set without getting a whole bunch of dupes, which is just kind of reminding me back of the good old days in the 1970s and 80s doing the same thing, except this time we're dealing with boxes that cost kind of, you know, $45 or so a box. When I saw what they did with The New Hope, when I heard Empire was being released, which I kind of already guessed, because as soon as I opened up my the Black and White series on The New Hope, I just looked at these things and I was just so mind boggled over it. I just said, you know what, they're going to definitely do an Empire Strikes Back. They're going to. And I was even telling people, even on Instagram, after this the first one came out, I said, you know what, they're going to do next year at the same round, same date, they're going to come out with Empire. And sure enough, boom, I guessed right. There it came out just right on the same time. And it did not disappoint at all. It just blew me away just as much as it did with The New Hope. The cards were very good quality cards. you know, they had a very nice gloss to it. But in black and white, boy, it seems like it popped just right out to you. The black and whites just seem to bring out more detail. And then to top it off, Topps goes out and gives you different type of angles on these shots and stuff. And you're just looking at it like, oh my gosh, it's like, you know, I don't remember this angle on in the movie, or this was a, you know, I mean, your mind is kind of, you sit there, see it in black and white, and you're seeing it in a, I don't know, just kind of blows your mind. And this series, The Empire Strikes Back, black and white, that was unbelievable. And then to top it off, the sketch card artist, the sketch card artist really blew me away on their how much time they put into each card. It's almost like, to me, I was looking at some of these sketch cards that came out, and I was looking at them going like, what did you spend like 2-3 days on one card? I mean, it's like, you know, how did they find time to do, you know, like 300 cards or something into, you know, the Topps? You know, it just kind of blew me away because I know the sketch card artists, you know, I know they put their heart and soul on these cards. And of course, they were probably, you know, the time that they had was probably very limited. But boy, I mean, compared to the sketch cards at the time when they first started versus now, it's kind of like stick figures versus three-dimensional computer thing. That's what it's like now. It's like the sketch card artists, you know, hats off to every one of them. They did such a fantastic, over-the-top job. You know, it was to the point where, you know, the sketch cards are now like, this is what we were hoping for. You know, it's like, I want to see what I'm going to get on the hits. You know, exactly. Am I going to get an autograph or am I going to get a sketch card? But the sketch cards were so mind-boggling. And, you know, so this card series, Empire Strikes Back, you had some good odds of getting sketch cards, which is what I like compared to the very current stuff that is out now. Now, we don't get this, you know, it's harder to get sketch cards. And but I think Empire had at least a little bit better odds of getting a sketch card.
And one nice thing about it, you know, and it's of those type of boxes, and they repeated that for A New Hope as well as Return of the Jedi, is that although the base set count is higher, the boxes themselves were a little easier to, you know, like they find themselves in that $50-ish range with that guaranteed hit of either the autograph or perhaps a sketch card or whatnot. So, you know, when you're chasing multiple boxes, once again, it's harder to get a complete set, but you have a better chance of getting, like you said, one of those really nice sketch cards or whatnot. So it's an interesting trade-off. And what I also like is that, did you point it out, was the fact that you had these uncommon angles and pictures. And of course, the, you know, the black and white makes it pop. And then they even have those, the variant colors, which, you know, make that, you know, the mono color of whatever card you're getting. It's a really special set. And it was nice. And it across all three of the vintage movies, or the original trilogy, just really great cards and a really great addition to anyone's collection.
I agree.
It's really hard to talk just because of all the different cards. And I think the longer you are a collector, the more cards you will see that are released, not necessarily in the U.S. And so what we were talking about here tonight is the major U.S. releases for Empire Strikes Back. And like as we were talking before, just to be the completest on this, there was in 2016 a very small, I believe, online set that Topps released, and it was only maybe 6 cards. And I do believe they were just they were trio of characters on each card in different combinations. But that's the tricky part is when you're trying to scour down and find all these cards, you're finding bits and pieces here. You'll find, you know, ones that are in different countries or ones that are not even released in the U.S. And when we kind of got into the second kind of chunk of tonight's conversation, it was, you know, when we were kind of talking back and forth before we recorded, like, you know, you will find Empire Strikes Back images in plenty of sets, but where you might find a lot of concentrated effort are some of these, what I called, I kind of had these, you had the predominant set inclusions. And there are 4 of them that I wanted to talk about tonight. The first one, I don't have a whole lot of knowledge about, I don't have it, or is what I should say, I don't have it yet, is the 1996 Star Wars Finest, where you kind of still find yourself in those early years of the direct market releases. Did you pick up this particular set, and what are your memories of it?
Yeah, I bought, let's see, on the Finest, that was, if I remember right, that was also mini boxes, correct? If I remember right,
I can include that in the show notes on this because it was one of those sets we kind of threw in there towards the end.
But I remember I did buy several boxes of it because I've heard that it was supposed to be that the card stock was going to be nicer. I did buy one to keep factory sealed, so I do have that. And then I think I bought two or three boxes of that one. As far it's. That one particular wasn't to me as much, with the other card sets that we just talked about, that the Finest was a very well put set, but it was not something that I was jumping heads over heels with. It was kind of like they're great to collect and everything. And, I'm happy I have the whole set, but it was more to me like after seeing what we've been talking about before, I don't know. I just kind of thought, well, it was nice to see, because it kind of reminded me of like a crisscross between the old school versus the new school.
Right.
And, and so to me, it was kind of more like they're trying to find that place where, you're talking about high-end cards versus the little bit lower, and I'm talking about in as far as quality-wise, as far as the card itself and what it costs to process and stuff. So I'm thinking that the Finest was kind of more in between. It was kind of more like it's a good, it's better than the old, like the Heritage one, but yet not as good as, like the 3DIs were done or, things like that. It's kind of like in between.
I was sneaking on Cardboard. I was Cardboard Connection, and Finest does have. It's a 90 card base set. One interesting thing, and I was looking at this earlier. This is more character driven, but what makes this set particularly interesting is that it has characters from the expanded universe, which of course do not find their way in too many of recent sets. But also, what makes this, you do have inserts. You have some foil cards. You also have some refractors as well. But yeah, it does appear to line up with what you're talking about, where it was a little more of a higher end set. It's also one of those sometimes when you're going back and looking at some of these sets in the 90s, and it's kind of been a bit of a focus for me, to kind of go back and see some of these where you have like the vehicle set or, where it's some interesting takes. And I think you can see Tops, they've been going into wide vision. They're trying to find, they're just trying to kind of feel their way around in the direct market and see what kind of hits. And they seem to have a lot of, during a time when there's really not that much going on, we're not yet ramped up into what will eventually be the, the trilogy that's been re-released with the added extra effects, as what we'll talk here in a minute. But you kind of find it, so it kind of makes it interesting if you were going back and thinking about collection, looking at some of these cards from 93 to 97, where there's a lot of interesting thing there. And if you are finding that you enjoy card collecting, I do recommend checking this out. The next one is, as we talked about, when you're getting into the wide vision, now you're getting at the tail end of the wide vision, at the start of that with the original trilogy, you start getting into when George Lucas went back to those three films and added a lot of the special effects. And so we have one where we have the Star Wars trilogy, and I just recently got this. It's a wide vision set that actually has story on the back of it that was done by Steven Sansweet, our friend over at Rancho Obi-Wan, and that kind of really caught my eye. And it's kind of fun to see his takes and his different captions on it. But tell me, what are some of your memories of the Star Wars trilogy with it? Basically, it has that chunk of Empire in the middle of it.
What I remember about that set, now we're talking about a set that's going to have all three movies in it, and original movies, and it's in widescreen. So this is like the big, it's teasing you a little because it's giving you now three movies in one box. And so you're wondering, like, okay, now what seeds are they going to put in there? What are they going to not put in there? But they're doing it in the widescreen. And these cards are actually really nice cards. The cardboard stock is really nice. You know, they did a very well job with this card set. And when I got them, I first was buying them for pack to pack, which I was, you know, which normally I would not. But at the time, I didn't know what I was getting into because I couldn't find anybody that would have a whole entire box for sale. And this is at the time where I'm not really diving in too much into buying stuff over the internet or anything like that. It's more like I was just trying to find a place that actually sells it where I could get my hands on it. And so I was stuck buying all these packs one by one, and then I found myself getting a whole bunch of duplicates again. And so then finally, it was probably about maybe 6 years ago or so, I found one online that was unopened. So I bought it, and it's in my unopened collection of boxes. So I do have it currently now. Unopened box, and I was able to finally also complete the whole entire set.
One thing I would say that comes to mind, because I just recently came across this, is that, you know, it comes out at the time. There's also, it kind of overlaps a bit with the special edition Wide Vision, where they released, you know, a set of Wide Vision cards just for some of the effects they did. And
right.
So there's some overlap in the trilogy set, although I think it's more, you'll see more of those in the Star Wars portion of this card set, and so not so much later on. So it looks to me as this time, as a point of time where it was released with the A New Hope special edition already finished, but it doesn't seem like either it was out in time for the Empire effect, you know, the cards that would show maybe some extra effects for Empire Strikes Back to be in that set. So it's sort of an interesting, like I said, it overlaps with some other ones. It can also be a set that some folks can tend to kind of overlook, or they don't, why is it, it seems like it's the same as this other, the special edition Wide Vision, but it is its own unique set. And when you see the fact that you've got some Steve Sansweet writing in it, and you see the captions and the text on the back as he's basically describing the, you know, rewriting the saga for you, this is a nice set to have, and I think it's a good one to have in the collection as well.
Definitely agree. It is one of my top widescreen cards actually that I enjoy.
Excellent.
Besides the 3DI, but it's a great set that I highly recommend people trying to find it. It's just like I said before, it's just that box, when it came out, it was just selling like crazy at first. And so it's going to be kind of hard for people to get their hands on, especially if they want to try to find one that's not opened.
Exactly.
But I think you got some good odds of maybe getting the complete set already done for you, the base set. But, you know, I highly recommend it too to everybody out there. If you find it, get it. It's an all win.
Well said.
There you go.
The next set that you will find a nice chunk of, and it should also be, it's on my big bucket list, is in 1999 we have the Star Wars Chrome Archives. And this is one where, you know, this is a nice one for new collectors as well as old ones, just because of, once again, another, you know, trial by Topps to do something a little different. Can you talk to us a little bit about what makes Chrome Archives really kick?
What was really cool about that set was that they took the original ones and basically chromed them. It was really a neat effect, and it just kind of popped out the whole picture of them. It brought a new dimension into the thing, and the colors too that were used. It was a little bit more, I don't know, it's kind of more like 3D-ish, but not 3D-ish. You know,
right,
it's not
right.
3D, but it's, yeah, so it's really stuck out really well. I mean, it's in a good way. Yeah, the cards were identical to the original card series, especially like the ones from Star Wars. They had a very nice gloss back to it too. It was fully glossed. Yeah, actually right now I'm actually holding one right now in my hand. That's one of my top cards, Star Wars cards. That Chrome Archives is a great card series. It was pretty pricey too because it's the first time they're coming out with Chrome.
Right.
Empire Strikes Back, basically the the whole backing on the Empire part of it was the same as the original card series. So I'm looking at them right now, and they're identical as far as it was just more glossy, very high gloss back. But the front was done all full chrome.
You know, they are, the Chrome Archives are taking cards from across the vintage sets. And right. So in which case, and like I said, you're adding that nice chrome layer to it, but it's not necessarily just from one series. So you have cards, you know, you have the Yellow Series 3 from, you know, the Star Wars one. You have Empire Series 2. You have Return of the Jedi series. So what's nice is you're getting this nice mix of. So if you're a more recent collector and haven't quite either filled out the vintage sets, or you just haven't gone back and got them, the Chrome Archives right. is a nice relative, you know, like it's now we're talking almost 20 years old, but you are getting sort of a nice new and old, you know, set kind of combined. And so you've got kind of a different take on it, and they're very attractive cards. And it's one
very
of those
attractive.
Things.
Yeah.
And it's something, like I said, you're seeing, you know, Topps here trying to do something a little different, akin to the Wide Vision, akin to the 3DI. You're like, how do we sort of repackage this content, but doing in sort of an interesting way that appeals to the collector. And 99, you're kind of, you know, you're also coming out at the same time as, you know, as the Phantom Menace. So you're
right.
seeing, you know, those cards plus this. So it's an interesting time, and it's an interesting effect that would come across later on. They do repeat the chrome, the chrome process. One of the most recent ones, I know they did a chrome version of The Force Awakens in 2016, which I dabbled just a bit, but I did not finish that set.
I think out of all the chrome ones, I think this one was done since it was their first ones. It was, the whole thing was more, the background and the foreground was all done in chrome. And then the newer ones are kind of more, making it a little bit more pop, making it kind of more popping out, where the chrome they're using is done a little different, the process, it seems like. And these chrome, like I said, this, to the, since I believe this card set came out like a few months before the actual, episode one came out. So this was, like you said before, it's kind of more like the getting ready to, you know, we're getting ready to see a new Star Wars movie. And of course the cards were going to be shortly coming out afterwards. So, they just wanted to show you all the base cards, in a chrome finish, just like, yeah, you described it perfectly. It's kind of exactly like that. You're just basically looking at the old school cards, but you're giving it a new look with the chrome finish and the nice high gloss backs to them.
Excellent.
So,
yes.
You know, yeah. So you're right, and that's perfect. You described it perfectly. That's kind of how it is. This was kind of hard for me to describe exactly how they look at it, but that's, you nailed it right. That's exactly what they look like.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. So one of the last series that we're going to look at that has a nice chunk of Empire Strikes Back images, and it's also one that you should have in your collection, is the Top Star Wars Heritage from 2004, what's interesting, it has images from across the films up into Attack of the Clones. It does not include images from Revenge of the Sith. So now you have, in the classic card formats, you have, you know, images from multiple movies, like I said, including The Empire Strikes Back. This is a pretty chunky set. This is a 120 card set. It has those classic borders on it, and, you know, what are your memories of this? Now we're somewhat not that far away. It's 2004, but how do you feel about this set, and how did you try to collect it?
Yeah, I heard about this whole new old school format, basically, and a kind of more retro look to it. And I thought, okay, well, you know, I'm going to, you know, dive into this set. So I believe I bought two boxes, one to keep sealed and the other one I opened, and I got the whole entire series. I believe I got the whole set in one shot with a lot of duplicates. I don't remember how many packages there was in it. It was, yeah, it was, I remember though getting the whole entire base set. I was able to, I saw somebody was selling an uncut press sheet of it.
Oh, nice.
So I hurried up, yeah, so I hurried up and I bought that too. So it's, yeah, so, yeah, it's really cool because they're taking the not only the original trilogy, but like you said, also episodes 1 and 2, they're also making it like it was done in from the 70s, almost 70s and 80s. It is
right.
Really kind of a cool cool way to do that. And I think, I believe that pack, those packages came with gum. They reissued the gum for one time. Yes, I think that was it. So if I remember right, when I was opening these packs, now the gum wasn't exactly the way it was in 1980 and 1977, where it was just laid inside the pack and all the powder got on your cards and smelled like bubblegum over where these were individually wrapped inside. So they had a wrapper around the gum.
Oh, that's
so
funny.
But each pack did have gum in it. And so they wanted, I guess what Topps was trying to do is kind of like, hey, all you guys that used to collect back there, look at this. We brought back the gum. It's just like, oh, you know, just like it was before. But with a kick is we got episodes 1 and 2 in here, too. You know, and so I really liked it. I liked that idea. It was really fun to go, you know, open it and then just relive your time when you used to collect back in the 70s and 80s. Yeah, and then, like I said, I bought the uncut press sheet, and I did show that a couple times on some live feeds that I did on Instagram. Yeah, they're kind of hard to store, though. These uncut press sheets are really large, very collectible, and very kind of hard to find. They didn't leave too many uncut. You know, there was kind of limited run. I think they only allowed, I think there was only like 1,000 made of them or something like that. So, so they're kind of on the rarer side. But that card series, like I said, definitely is one to collect, especially for the people that are like used to collect back in the day and stop collecting and then they want to get back into it. I think that card series would be kind of a nice one to start you off back into the more of the modern cards that are out now. It's kind of like a neat way to get that kid back inside of you thing where you now you can have some gum on the side. Now, I don't know about using the gum now because that card series is a few years old now, but, it's kind of just a cool way to, I kind of see where Topps was going with this. And that was a really cool, really nice idea. I think it worked out really well.
That was a great nugget on the gum. And as I was cribbing off of Cardboard Connection, that not only mentioned that, two other items of note that they do mention, it was the first pack-inserted Mark Hamill autograph.
Yes, that's right.
And then it says here, it's the first set of Star Wars cards to offer sketch cards from the original trilogy, which I also find interesting.
Okay, that's it. You're right. That's what I was trying to think of. That's when they... Basically, that was shortly after Galaxy was the first one to come up with the sketch cards, but this one was the first one to come with sketch cards that were actually, like you just said, it's actually concentrates on the actual film.
Right.
And and they're really basic. I mean, I have like 3 sketch cards, I believe, from that series, and there's really basic drawings. It looks like, I think today's artists out there, I believe they could probably sketch those cards probably within 2 to 3 minutes. literally, that's how fast these were. Just outlines of. I remember one card specifically. I have one of a Jawa, and all it is, it's just an outlining of a Jawa, and that was it. It looked like he spent probably about. I think nowadays the artists nowadays are so detailed. I think if they were to do this and copy this card, I'm sure they could whip it out within about 1 or 2 minutes. I mean, it was that basic. But compared to nowadays, where it's all like it's practically a painting, you know? So really big difference between those sketch cards versus now.
Exactly. And, they have really come a long way, and they have earned the right to be called art cards, because whereas back in the day when they first started inserting these sketch cards, it was a sketch. And now you have these photorealistic paintings from the likes of like hundreds of artists, and they are amazing. When you're going through and going back into some of these cards, you are getting this little time capsule of not only what was Topps trying to do in the time, they were trying to do wide vision, or they were trying to do 3D, they were trying to do illustrated, they were trying to do a chrome effect. You know, each of these is a little unique. And if you really like The Empire Strikes Back, you're going to strike gold in a lot of these dedicated sets, but also a lot of these sets that, you know, contain good chunks of. And of course, you know, as Topps goes on, they release several, you know, they release several card sets a year. You will find either as a sketch card or whether they include it as part of their base set, you know, images from Empire Strikes Back. And as we kind of look back at now 40 years of Empire Strikes Back, cards, as well as the 40th anniversary of the Empire Strikes Back film. It's just an amazing treasure trove that anytime I think you go back and you see some of these images, it really harkens back to when you were waiting in line or when you saw it right. for the first time on VHS, or you saw it, you know, streaming on Disney Plus. Maybe that's your first time. Can you imagine someone seeing Empire for the first time on Disney Plus? Is there maybe home over this stretch of time? So, you know, an incredible movie. Now, I'm buying you a little time because I said before we got recorded tonight, I'm gonna pin a very tough and almost nearly impossible question on you. I want you to try to come up with maybe at least your top three. If you want to go five, that's fine. But of these sets that we talked about tonight, what are your top 3 to 5 favorite sets?
Well, for people that really know me very well, it's going to be the first one, my third one is the 3DI. I just love the 3D effects. So I'm going with the Empire Strikes Back 3DI widescreen. Second one, it's going to be a toss-up between... I love the widescreen, so I'm going to put it as number two. But I love the first widescreen cards that was dedicated to Empire Strikes Back. So that'd be second, and third would be the black and white series that just came out just not too long ago. Probably on number four. Well, let's see. You know what? Well, that's a tough one. Because, you know, I really enjoy the original ones. But like I said, but the way technology has gone with all these things, I'm going to go with some of the classic ones. I really loved series one and series three. I thought was pretty good, too, though. So think I'm going to go with series one and then series three. The second one was good, too. But I mean, Topps was just. You know, like I said, if you see all three of them, I mean, it's a tough question to answer, but I really, like I said, I really enjoy the 3D. The 3D one is just, to me, just kind of really mind boggling just looking at it. But you know, one thing, I forgot to mention about the Chrome Archive ones, by the way, is the Hits ones, if I remember right, they had see-through cards. Ooh. Now, I don't know if you've seen it. Yes, it's really cool. The Chrome Archives came out with, so it's kind of like their Hits, because you don't get the whole entire set, but they're completely see-through. Let's say you'd have like Darth Vader, just his whole body, and basically in behind, and then the surroundings is completely 100% see-through. It's like you can see your hand basically on the other side. It's just the character. It's really cool. They did it with, you know, Princess Leia and, you know, Luke Skywalker, Han Solo. They were all, I don't know how many, I think there was 10, I believe, to the Hits. But very impressive. Another impressive thing about the Chrome Archives. Just a footnote. You know, I just thought of it now. But that's, it's, and the cool thing was, is what I remember with that one was, is I actually, you could mail in a, was it 3x5 card or, you know, one of those note cards, you could mail it in the Topps. And then if they will send you one in the mail for free, as long as you send them, an envelope with your address and your, and the postage stamps, they'll send you one for free. So I did that to get some more, get my hands on some.
And that's one of those things that when we're talking about, like, you know, back in the day, a lot of times when the more famous versions of that is when you would send in the proof of purchase off of the Kenner figures to get the special figure. But that's something that if you look on these packs, because they have, you know, they have random inserts, you know, they were still required, you know, by law to, you know, you can still write into Topps and right. send away for. And I think that's something every time you think like, oh yeah, one of these days I'm going to do that just to get something back from Tops. But that's,
yeah, I've
that's
done it.
And that's what I was going to say. I think that would be fun. It's like, you know, maybe we can start a trend where it's like, you know what, as we are cracking open packs and, you know, we're doing, you know, live breaks and things like that. It's like, I think we need to start a movement to the writing campaign to Tops and see if we can get some movement on that. That'd be really fun.
Well, I know. Yeah. You know, I do know, I've been realizing you can still on some of the newer packs, you can still do that. I noticed it says, and if you read the packs back of the packs, it says, you know, send your self-addressed envelope with the, you know, postage and everything and send it to Tops, you know, and it gives the dates. And I think you have to give, I don't know if we have to give a wrapper or something like that with it, but it says on the back of the wrapper, they'll still send you something back as far as, you know, a parallel or something. They'll send you, you know, or it could even be an autograph card or something. But I think it's still on the back of the package. The black and whites, I think, still have that. Yeah, if I remember right.
One of those few things where the law actually will work in our favor. There we go.
Yeah, but of course there's an expiration date though. So you only have a certain amount of time.
Anyway,
you know,
it's been an absolute pleasure to go over this, and I thought in putting these special shows together, you know, there was only really one person I could think of that could talk about each and every one of these sets. And it was you, Stephen. So I want to thank you very much for coming on and kind of helping us relive a little bit of The Empire Strikes Back when we talk about the cards. And, you know, we look forward to the releases ahead. I don't think we've seen the last of the dedicated Empire Strikes Back releases. And with all the different things they've done, you have to wonder what they will do next.
Yes, I can't wait to see what they're going to do next. Maybe you never know. Maybe it might be another card series with all 9 movies put on there. Who knows? I mean,
exactly.
They could blow. Yeah, they got a lot of options to go. And of course, if they release episode 10 in the near future, we'll see what happens. But there's a lot of great card sets coming out even this for the next few months to look forward to too. So
exactly.
Yeah. So like I said, I highly recommend to everybody, you know, that are collecting cards, you know, just, you know, there's no wrong or right way to collect. You know, I mean, you could just be collecting specific characters, or you could be doing base cards or autographs or sketch cards, or, you know, it's so endless. And that's what's so great about Star Wars is there's no right or wrong way to collect anything in the Star Wars world, including cards. I mean, but, you know, like I said, it's been a real privilege to, you know, talk with you again. And thank you for inviting me once again on your show. I really deeply appreciate it.
No problem.
You know, and I wish everybody, I hope everybody stays safe out there at this time. And, you know, and like I said, now's a good time to start collecting. You know, it's a really fascinating world when you really get down into it, but it gets kind of addicting. That's the one thing. Once you start into it, you know, it's like, oh no, you know, you start buying more stuff. And so that's my warning to everybody. Once you start collecting cards, you know, I don't think there's going back.
Exactly. Stephen, yeah. Where can folks find you online?
Well, like I said, I have my Instagram account, which is Star Wars Tops Cards. I did a few things on YouTube where I'm known as Star Wars Steven. Did a few videos on YouTube a little while back. I think I did one actually on the New Hope Black and White series. I think that was my last one I did, or I think I did one on the 3DI, the original first Star Wars 3DI set. But yeah, and other than that, that's basically pretty much it.
Excellent. Once again, my thanks to Stephen for being on the program tonight. It was a pleasure to get a chance to talk to him again about Star Wars cards and especially helping me celebrate 40 years of the Empire Strikes Back cards. Hope you got a lot out of it. I sure did. If you have any feedback for tonight's program, good, bad, or otherwise, you can reach out to the program in a number of ways. You can leave a comment on the Instagram post for this episode, or you can DM me at RebelBaseCard on Instagram. You can also find me on Twitter and Facebook, also at RebelBaseCard, or you can email the program, greg@rebelbasecard.com. You can find the show notes for this and all episodes on the website, RebelBaseCard.com. In the Star Wars Card Trader app, you can find me at CornFedTech. If you are a sketch card artist or a Star Wars artist or collector, cosplayer, and want to talk about your work, your craft, your passion, please drop me a line. Maybe we can work something out. I'd love to get a chance to talk to you.
Otherwise, you can help out the program by leaving a comment and review on iTunes or wherever you get this podcast from. It helps grow the show. Otherwise, keep those cards out of the hands of the Empire, folks, and I'll talk to you soon.
The music for this podcast is brought to you under a Creative Commons license from Trent Reznor and Nine Inch Nails. This is Discipline off the album The Slip. This podcast is not affiliated in any way with Topps, Disney, or Star Wars, nor is it endorsed by Disney or Lucasfilm, and is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. All names and sounds, and any other related items, are properties of their respective trademarks and or copyright holders here in the U.S. and abroad. The official Star Wars website can be found at www.starwars.com.